Well, if you would turn with me to Matthew 28. I'll tell you what, while you're doing that, why don't you stand? My leg fell asleep, so I was hoping Ron would go a little longer because my foot was still asleep. let's read the scripture together. Matthew 28, we're going to start with verse 16. Go through verse 20. If you don't have your Bibles, it should be up on the screen. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth.'" Everybody say, "All authority."
All authority.
"In heaven,
in heaven.
And on earth.
And on earth.
Has been given to me." Go ahead. There we go. Come on. Here we go. We do it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It says, "and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." When I read those words, that 16-year-old girl's face popped up in front of me. The fact that Ron and Amy went that far in to teach this young girl, 16 years old, what it is to follow Christ, to teach her the ways of the Lord, is a powerful thing. You and I in America take that for granted because we hear it all of the time. It's free for us. If we feel alone, we can find Christian people around us to support us. It's not that hard. But for a 16-year-old girl that is way out in the middle of nowhere, who is trying to sustain their faith, thank God for Ron and Amy LaFave. Amen? And for each and every missionary that gives up what is familiar to them to go to the uttermost parts of the world so that people can truly know who Jesus really is. You and I, all of us cannot go, but all of us can send. Amen? All of us can support those who have called to go and to do the work of the ministry in other parts of the world. And so, Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, for that mandate. We thank you, Father, for men and women who are willing to listen to your call and trust and obey and go. And Father, we as a church count it our privilege, count it our joy to support the work of the ministry worldwide. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would anoint this word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Usually when you think of missions, we think of the Great Commission. But missions did not start with the Great Commission. Missions started with God. It first beat in his heart before it was ever breathed as the life-sustaining force into the church. God is missions-minded. If he were not, there would be no mission. The gospel has been given to us as a missions message. If it could not save every sinner, there would be no reason to take it to every nation. Amen. Thank God that he is forward thinking to all nations, to all people. Amen. Now, the Great Commission is a missions mandate. Everybody say mandate. It identifies the local church as the center of world evangelism. Just listen to where our missions giving is going. I mean, we've got people in the Ukraine. We've got people that we support that are in Vietnam. We have got people that we support. You go back there and look at the board. It's all over the place. This little church is sending and doing. Amen? And missions is something that we need to strongly, strongly support. Now, a strong missions program rests on three foundations. Number one, a compassionate God. There is a description of God's love. It's found in John 3:16. I don't know if you got it up on the board. I want us to all read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever is a powerful, powerful word. Because God didn't say, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die for this people group. No, he said, for whosoever believes. That means you and I. That means the people in Uganda that has never seen a white person ever. A person that is way out in the jungles and has never seen technology at all, never heard the word Jesus before. He died for them. You and I need to understand that we did not pick Jesus. He picked us. We did not one day intellectually think, I'm going to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus wooed you like a suitor would woo a lady. He wooed you to his heart. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's the truth. You did not pick him, he picked you. And because he picked you, we now have an opportunity to accept the love of God and a compassionate God that said that he would, whosoever believes on him would be saved. Now, his love is extravagant. We see that through John 3:16, God so loved. It is a love so infinite that it's everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us and said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with everlasting kindness. It's love so incomprehensible that it passes knowledge. Ephesians 3:19, excuse me. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It is a love so indiscriminate that it would be given to the least worthy sinners. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now we think about that his love is so indiscriminate that even the most violent, the most repulsive, the most wicked of persons that is sitting in jail and in solitary confinement, that is so violent that he cannot be in the population at all. And when he comes to a saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and he truly repents of his sins, the Bible says he will be saved. It's hard for us to wrap our brains around because our love and our acceptance has limitations. But God's love is boundless. He will go to the least of these, to the vile list of these. If the man that shot all those children in the school a few weeks ago, the man, if he were to have survived and given up, if at some point in his life he would have accepted Christ and was truly repentant of what he did, the Bible says that if he believes upon the Lord Jesus, he will be saved. A lot of us in this room maybe not are willing to accept that, but that's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. His love is extravagant. His love is incomprehensible. His love is indiscriminate. His love, church, is boundless. Amen? To the everlasting praise of God, salvation is now offered to the sole condition of faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. Now, the second foundation for which a strong missions program is built upon, is a compelling message. Romans 1, 14 through 16, Paul declares that he is indebted to God to give the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having heard the greatest message of the world, he was compelled to share it with whosoever will. So great was the sense of obligation and urgency that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, 16, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul said, "I am compelled. I am in debt. I am indebted to the people so that they will know the truth, the way, the truth, and the life." You and I have to understand that there needs to be an urgency with inside of each and every one of us, that we are compelled, that we cannot stand it any longer if we cannot speak the name of Jesus. Paul said, "There's a mandate upon my life." And the reason why there's a mandate upon his life isn't because of his schooling. It isn't because of the stock that he came from. It's not because the family that he belongs to. Paul forsook everything that he came from. He said, "I counted all as dung." Why did he count it all as dung? Because he met somebody one day that knocked him off his horse and blinded his eyes so that he could see the way, the truth, and the life. And when Paul, being on his back, looked up to the Savior who was standing before him, he acknowledged that he was Lord. Paul was compelled to speak the name of Christ. And the reason why is because he had his eyes opened to the urgency and the hour of which he lived in. You guys need to understand that there is an urgency upon our lives to be faithful to the call of Christ, to be faithful to the call of missions, to be faithful to the call of listening and doing the will of God. Amen? There's now no time to sit, soak, and listen. Now is the time to be doers of God's word. Now is the time to be obedient to his word. Now is the time to take his word at his word and go and compel others to come in. Amen? We have a mission and a mandate upon our life to speak the word of Christ wherever we go. Now that doesn't mean that you go down to the street corner and start preaching in the air. But if at some time in your life, whenever you begin to talk to your friends and you begin to talk to them relationally and people begin to see Christ in you, not because of your goodness, but because of his forgiveness in your life, then you'll have an opening to begin to tell people about the love of Christ. We need to understand that the gospel is a distinct message as well. Every major religion relies on performance for salvation. Hinduism speaks on the fourfold path of salvation. Buddhists lead its followers down an eightfold path to salvation. Islam rests on five pillars. In Catholicism, salvation is based on fulfilling five sacraments. But the gospel centers around a person. The gospel centers around a man, and his name is Jesus. And he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me." The Bible says, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way, and only few find it." Church, the words "only few find it" should compel us. Should cause us to dream about it. You ever been so excited about something that you can't go to sleep? You ever get wrapped up into something that it affects everything about you? It's everything. You can't think about anything else. You can't. It's like being in love for the first time. Can't think about anything else. The sky is bluer. The trees are prettier. The grass is greener. Everything in life is wonderful because you've met somebody. And when you met that person, you begin to let them into your world. You begin to invite them into your mother and father's house. You introduce them to your siblings, and you introduce them to your friends, and you take them out on dates, and you have your girl on your arm because you're proud. You found love, and you're willing to share that with everybody that'll listen. And today, Jesus has found us. We have found him. And we need to not wear our feelings on our sleeve, but we need to have Christ in the forefront of our life. And we need to show him off at every opportunity that we possibly can. Because the Bible says that if you're ashamed of me, Jesus said, then I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Church, that's a horrible, horrible thought. I want you to know today that there is a compelling message out there, and it's centered around a person for salvation. His name is Jesus. Jesus again announced, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Peter said, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. Paul said, through this name is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. The gospel finds its source, its content, and its meaning in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is no salvation. Jesus said, I am it. There is no other way. There is no other path. There is no other conditions. There is no other road unto salvation. Some people say there's got to be more ways. I hear Oprah Winfrey saying it. She said the mistake that most people make is believing that there's only one way. Well, if that's the case, then Jesus must have misspoke. Because Jesus said, no, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, his mandate and his command and his way is not skewed. It's laid out in black and white. And the reason why it's laid out in black and white is because the soul of humanity rests upon his promise. The souls of humanity rest upon his claims, that he be Jesus or not. And I don't know about you, but my whole life rests upon the words that Christ said while he was on earth. Amen? Now, the power of the gospel is subject to the following limitations. It cannot save until it has been delivered. It cannot be delivered until it is first heard. And it cannot be heard until it's preached. So what does this mean? It means that God needs us to participate. The Bible says, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my mouth and my heart. Here is everything I hold dear, Lord. I give it over to you. And whatever you decide to make of it, whatever you ask of my life, whatever it is that you want of me, no matter how hard, no matter how frightening, no matter how small or big or large or obscure it may be, Lord, give me the faith and the courage to be obedient. And do it with all of your heart. But whatever you do, participate. Participate in the call of God. Lastly, the foundation of a strong mission program is a commissioned people. Everyone is involved. Missions is imperative. Listen to the words in Matthew 28. Listen to the first word. Go. Go. There's a mandate on your life. There's a mandate on each and every one of our lives. To go, to go, to go. Multitudes are born and die whether or not anyone is prepared to teach them. Multitudes are born and die each and every day whether or not anyone is prepared to teach them. If we do not evangelize our generation, if this generation will not be evangelized, then it won't be evangelized at all. We need to open our eyes and step out of our own stuff. How many of you guys got stuff in your life? got stuff you're dealing with, got stuff you're going through. You got family members that pass away. You have people in your family that may be wronging you. You may have problems at your work. You may be going through depression. You may be going through a time of lean time in your life. And it takes everything that a believer has within him not to turn his eyes and his focus inward. Because once a believer turns his eyes and his affections inward to himself, he's of use to no one else. You need to understand that whether you are rich or poor, Paul said, I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to be well fed. I know what it is to be in health. I know what it is to be in sickness. I know what it is to have plenty and be in want. He said, I know this one thing, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In church, we need to step outside of ourselves and turn our focus from here to here, knowing there's a mandate on our life, knowing that we are commissioned people, knowing that we have a charge on our life, either to send or be sent in our life. And I ask and I pray today that you would listen to the voice of God and obey Him. No one is exempt from this responsibility to evangelize the lost. No one. Christ's command means that you are either sent or you send, but you cannot remain uninvolved. And to be obedient to Jesus Christ. We need to understand, folks, that there's repercussions to our disobedience, to our lack of faith. I told you earlier in worship that we get so caught up sometimes in building our own stuff that we forget that God is the builder of the house. And unless He builds it, it will not stand. It'll look good for a little while, but when the winds and the rain come upon it, the true craftsmanship of your life will be tested. You ever heard the old adage, a poor craftsman blames his tools? The only thing in our life that we can blame for our shortcomings is ourselves. We cannot blame anybody else. And I encourage you today with all of my heart, with all of my being, with everything that is within me, to take those things that I gave you, those commitment sheets, take them home and put them up on your refrigerator so you see them every day. And say, Father, what is it that you want me to give? Well, how much do you want me to give, Lord? And whatever He tells you to do, write it down and turn it in. Because there's a mandate. There's people that are in Vietnam. There's people in the Ukraine. There's people in Africa. You'll hear from a good friend of mine that ministers in Africa and India. You'll hear from him in a couple of weeks about where he is going and what he is doing and how he is doing it. He's doing it through you. Do you know that you'll reap the same reward as he does when you get into heaven? His reward will be that he sees thousands and thousands of people saved in his lifetime. And you know who else gets the credits of that? You do. You do. Don't ever minimize your life, church. Don't ever minimize your effectiveness, your worth in this life. The very kingdom of God depends upon your obedience. The very essence of the kingdom of God depends on your willingness to be His hands and feet. My question is to you today, church, will you be His hands and feet? Will you go? Will you send? Will you obey? And I hope and I pray that you say, yes, I will trust and I will obey. Let's all stand this morning. This morning, would you come up a minute? There's also a mandate upon your life today. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that what I'm saying to you is a compelling message, and you've probably been moved by what I've said, by what Ron and Amy said. You've probably been moved by the pictures and by the worship that we've been doing. You've probably been moved emotionally, intellectually. You've learned But until you have tasted and seen the Lord Jesus Christ, until you have put Him in your heart and you've said, Lord, whatever you want of my life, I give it to you. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Make me new. Until that moment happens, you'll never realize the mandate upon your life, the potential of your life, the value of your life. Because it's Christ that gives the increase in your life. It's Christ that opens your eyes to the wonderful blessing that you can be, to the potential that you have in your life to go worldwide with the gospel. And this morning, I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I know pastors say, I don't beg people, but look, listen to me, listen to your pastor. I beg you today, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then today, without hesitation, I want you to come forward and I want you to receive the lover of your soul. I want you to receive the person that formed you in your mother's womb. I want you to receive that person that set every day into motion in your life. That person that knows the potential in your life. That person that loves you with an everlasting love, church. I compel you to come. I beg you to come. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't know Christ today, if you're without Him in your life, come today without hesitation. Come today without hesitation.